Hello, friends. Welcome in to your Watchman on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. Thank you for spending part of your day with us. James Collins is starting a series on the seven churches of Revelation, and Pastor Larry answers your Bible questions on today's broadcast. Friends, do you find it difficult to live for Jesus where you are? The church in Smyrna lived for Jesus in a very difficult place. Our staff evangelist, James Collins, is opening up God's Word today to speak with us about the Smyrna church and what we can learn from their example.
The seven churches in the book of Revelation were seven actual churches, but they also describe seven periods of church history. Now, I also believe that the message that Jesus gives to the seven churches are messages that the individual believer can apply to their lives today. These are messages for us as we seek to live out our Christian faith. The Lord has called us to live out our Christian lives in a hostile world. God never said that we'd be in the majority. God never said that people would really be happy to have a bunch of Christians living around them. No, the Lord said we would have a cross to bear. But I want you to know, for every cross that is borne, there is a crown to be won. So for the next few minutes, I would like to speak on this subject, crosses and crowns. If you have your Bible and you'd like to follow along, I'll be in Revelation chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. I want to look today at the church in Smyrna, a church that lived for Jesus in a very difficult place. In Smyrna, in Asia Minor, in what is today the country of Turkey, there was a local Bible-believing church, and the Lord addressed the church in Smyrna, which was located in a place that was hostile, very hostile, to the Christian faith. Now, there are three things that the Lord Jesus Christ tells this church about the Christian faith. First of all, our faith is to be tested. Our faith is to be tested. Notice Revelation 2:8, which reads, "And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, These things saith the first and the last." The first and the last is a wonderful title of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the first and the last. He is everything. Jesus is everything. You may be looking for love in all the wrong places. You may be searching for happiness, but come away just feeling empty. But I'm telling you right now that joy, satisfaction, and abundant life is found in Jesus Christ. He is the first and the last. He is everything. That title also reminds me that Jesus has experienced everything. You know, when the Lord lived on this earth, He knew what it was like to be homeless. He said, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay His head." He knew what it was like to grow up in poverty. He was raised by a poor carpenter. He knew what it was like to be misunderstood, persecuted, and even betrayed. He knew what it was like to have one of his friends betray him. He knew what it was like to feel intense, agonizing pain. And I don't know what pain you're currently experiencing in your life right now, but Jesus knows exactly what you're going through. Jesus even faced the obstacle of death. He is the first and the last. The Bible says He is the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. Now, some liberal Bible scholars would have you to believe that Jesus fainted on the cross. They would have you believe that when they put Him in the tomb, the cool, damp tomb revived Him and He woke up. Then He somehow managed to make His way out of that tomb. There is a Greek word for that kind of teaching: baloney. It takes more faith to believe that nonsense than to believe the truth that God raised Jesus from the dead. The Bible says that Jesus Christ died on the cross. He gave His life. His life was not taken. Then they took His dead body off the cross and buried Him in a tomb. But after 3 days, the Spirit of God invaded the darkness of that tomb with a light of miracle-working power. And though He was dead, Jesus received life. The stone was rolled away, and He walked out of that tomb in victory. And He is alive forevermore. So listen to me. The worst thing in this life that can ever come against you is death. But Jesus has already taken care of death. Christians never die. We just separate from the body, and we go to be with Jesus forever and ever. Amen. So even though we're tested, Jesus has already walked through all of the tests. So when you're tested, when you're going through trials, all you need to do is go to the Lord in prayer and say, Jesus, you know exactly what I need to get through this right now. And He will give you what you need to keep on keeping on. This church in Smyrna was tested severely. Some of them were persecuted and killed for their faith. Look at Revelation 2:9. Jesus said, I know thy works. Think about that. Even though this was a difficult place, they just kept working for Jesus. That encourages me. Jesus said, I know thy works and tribulation. The word tribulation speaks of a crushing affliction. It is a word that came to describe crushing pressure, the crushing pressure of persecution. The church in Smyrna faced a hostile world that persecuted them because of their faith. I want you to know that if the Lord tarries, persecution is going to increase in our nation. For example, I believe that marriage was instituted by God, not man. And I believe the Bible, by divine revelation, teaches us that marriage is between a man and a woman. But today, all across America, so-called same-sex marriage is being legalized. And if you as a Christian stand up and say, I believe what the Bible says about marriage, the media and the woke will come against you to destroy you. And it is going to continue to get worse. So you must decide, are you going to be popular with Bill Maher? Are you going to be loved by the liberal elite? Are you going to be accepted by Oprah? I don't know about you, but I'm going to be true to my convictions and speak the truth in love. Not only was this church experiencing crushing pressure, the Bible says they experienced poverty. The Lord says, I know thy works and tribulation and poverty. Because they stood for Christ and did not worship Caesar, many of them lost their jobs. They had no money. However, Jesus said, but thou art rich. In the eyes of God, they were rich. Rich in courage, rich in love, rich in integrity, rich in truth, rich in character, and rich in faith. The church in Smyrna was also blasphemed. Jesus says, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. They were being slandered by false teachers who claimed to be Jews but were not. Do you understand that if you live for Jesus, people will talk bad about you and say things about you that are not true? History records what this slander was. They said this church was full of cannibals. They overheard them talking about the Lord's Supper and said, see, they eat the flesh and they drink blood. They said they were atheists also because they did not worship Caesar and the other idols that they all worship. They said they were revolutionaries because they spoke about the coming Christ and a new kingdom. So here is a group of believers who were slandered. They lost their jobs. They were misunderstood. Their families turned on them. They were tested, but they were still working faithfully for the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have seen that as Christians, our faith is to be tested. And I want you to notice also that the Bible says our faith is to be tough. Being a Christian is not for wimpy people. Notice Revelation 2:10. The Bible says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. In other words, Jesus said it's going to get worse. Jesus said you will have tribulation for 10 days. Now, 10 days here is a prophecy. There were 10 Roman emperors who persecuted Christians with 10 decrees over a period of 200 years. So what should you do when you are under pressure? What should you do when the world, the flesh, and the devil comes after you? What should you do when you are slandered? The Lord tells us to fear none of those things and to be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. God is not asking you to be successful. God is asking you to be faithful. You know, I thank God for men like Billy Sunday and Dwight L. Moody. Those men preached the gospel all around the world and millions were saved. I thank God for men like my mentor and friend, Dr. Larry Spargimino, who has been faithfully proclaiming the truth of God's word for decades on the radio. One of these days, those men will stand before the Lord and Jesus will reward them for their faithfulness. But I also want you to know that when the Lord is handing out all those rewards, He will call a little widow lady to step up there. A woman whose husband died and left her living on Social Security and a very limited income. But she was faithful to her church, faithful to be a witness in her neighborhood, and she was a faithful prayer warrior. And the Lord will reward her with the same measure that He rewards those great men of God, because the basis of the rewards of glory are based on your faithfulness to do what God has called you to do, where God has called you to do it. You know, I can't do much. I tried the other day again to send a text message. I don't know where that thing is. It's out there somewhere. I could have called that person 10 times in the time that it took me to send that text. I can't sing either. The other day I was out working in my yard and I started to sing. Somebody called the police because they thought I was killing a cat. There are a lot of things that I cannot do. I've got my limitations and you've got your limitations. But one thing we both can do is be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. We can certainly do that. So in the Christian life, our faith is to be tested. Our faith is to be tough. But hallelujah, our faith is to be triumphant. Jesus says in the last part of Revelation 2:10, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." In the time when the Apostle John wrote the book of Revelation, the laurel crown or the victor's crown was given to the winner of the Olympic contest. Remember, the Apostle Paul said at the end of his life, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness." The Christian race is not about finishing first. It is about finishing faithful. Back in 2010, Holland Reynolds was one of the top cross-country runners in the United States. Holland was 16 years old, and she ran cross-country for her high school in Fresno, California. Her cross-country team was trying to win the state championship for Coach Jim Tracy. Coach Tracy had been diagnosed with Lou Gehrig's disease, ALS. The girls on his cross-country team wanted to win a state title for Coach Tracy. They didn't know how much longer that he had to live. That fall day, Holland was the last runner. She was the 3-mile runner to close out the race. This particular track meet was the last competition of the season. Holland's team already had enough points to win the state title. Holland did not have to place first, second, or third. All she had to do was finish. If Holland finished the race, they would win the state title for her school and for her coach. Now, Holland was a skilled athlete. She knew how to hydrate her body, but she had been sick with a flu virus the week before, and she was dehydrated. In addition, it was colder that day than normal. Holland was not prepared. Now, you can still find Holland's story on YouTube. It is an amazing video. Holland said, "At the 2.5-mile mark, my legs got rubbery. She started staggering. She fell 10 feet from the finish line." Holland fell down flat on the track. One of her assistant coaches ran out to help her. He later said he thought she was dead. Now, if the assistant coach would have touched her, she would have been disqualified. They would have lost the state title. But right before the assistant coach touched her, Holland got up on all fours. With every ounce of strength that she had left, Holland crawled on her hands and knees over the finish line. Then the paramedics came to help her. They put Holland in the back of an ambulance. A television reporter got up in the ambulance to interview her. The reporter asked, "Holland, do you remember falling?" She said, "No, I just remember finishing." The reporter asked, "Do you remember crawling?" She said, "No, I just remember finishing." The reporter asked, "What was your motivation? Do you remember anything?" Holland said, "All I remember was seeing my head coach, Coach Tracy, on the other side of the line. He was encouraging me to finish the race. I just crawled to him, and we won the state title." Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you today, if you are a Christian, we are not running to win. We have already won. We are just running to finish. Jesus has already finished the race. He is standing on the other side. He said on the cross, "It is finished." Jesus did not fail in what He came to do. He finished the course, and He is waiting for us on the other side. So keep running for Jesus and finish faithful. Hit the tape with a blaze of glory. One day, it'll be worth it all. Finish faithful in Jesus' name.
James will continue his teaching on the seven churches of Revelation next time. Did you know that James Collins is available to speak at your church? As the staff evangelist here at Southwest Radio Ministries, James is ready to preach, teach, and speak at your church or special event. Call our toll-free number and get James on your calendar to speak today. Call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. We get people reaching out to us almost every single day here at Southwest Radio, asking Bible-related questions, and we thought we would take some time and answer those questions in a brand new segment we call Ask Pastor Larry. Today's question for Pastor Larry is, was there ever a time when Jesus was not perfect?
In Matthew 5, verse 48, Jesus said, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect." But in Hebrews 5, 9, the Bible says of Jesus, "And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him." Matthew 5 says that we are to be perfect like the Father, but Hebrews 5 says Jesus was made perfect. When we think of perfect and imperfect, we think of morally perfect, that is, without sin or moral blemish, and morally imperfect, that is, with sin and moral blemish. We think of perfect and imperfect in terms of Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." However, the word perfect means to complete, to finish, or to accomplish. In John 4:34, Jesus said, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish," and that's the word for perfect, "and to finish his work." In John 19:30, the Bible says, "When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, 'It is finished.'" Now that's the word for perfect. So in these contexts, the word translated perfect means completed or finished. In Acts 20:24, the Apostle Paul is giving his goodbye to the Ephesian elders, and he says, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish," that's the word for perfect, "my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus." So in Hebrews 5:9, when the Bible says Jesus was made perfect, it doesn't mean he was imperfect and sinful, but rather that he was made perfect for the work of redemption. His earthly ministry, his experiences of temptation, ridicule, and finally suffering on the cross, made him perfect as our Redeemer. In other words, he went through the school of suffering and took our griefs upon himself, thereby being fully qualified to be a merciful and compassionate high priest. It is as if he went to a college or university and had to graduate and complete his preparation. When Jesus was born of a virgin, he was sinless and always remained sinless. But his preparation to be our compassionate high priest was not yet finished or completed. Or to explain it in more detail, when Jesus was born, he had not yet experienced all that he needed to experience to qualify him for his mediatorial work. So when he was young, he was not imperfect in the sense of being sinful. May it never be. But he simply did not receive the life experiences that he needed to accomplish his redemptive work. Now, what about Jesus' command in Matthew 5:48? "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." Is Jesus saying that we have to be morally perfect and without any moral blemish? If that's what Jesus is saying, isn't that impossible? Does any sincere Christian ever see themselves as being morally perfect and without any moral blemish? What's going on here? It is easy to explain this in terms of imputed righteousness and not actual righteousness. The believing sinner is justified by faith in Jesus Christ, meaning that through faith, that sinner has the righteousness of Jesus Christ imputed to him or her. This is not actual righteousness, but imputed righteousness. When God looks down upon the justified person, God does not see that person's sinfulness, but the imputed righteousness of Christ. Romans 4, verse 5 explains this, "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." Notice, because of imputation, God justifies the ungodly. Justification by faith does not make a person righteous. Justification is simply God's declaration that the person is righteous because the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ has been put in that person's spiritual account. While all of this is true, I think it is an erroneous hermeneutical practice to give a word used by Jesus a distinctly Pauline meaning. It was not a standard teaching of Jesus to explain imputation and imputed righteousness. That was something that was revealed to the Apostle Paul and taught by Paul, especially in Romans and Galatians. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is demanding an actual righteousness that is far beyond what any human will ever experience in this life. Jesus is taking aim at the self-righteous Pharisees and says to his listeners, "Except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." That's from Matthew 5:20. Why is that? Because all the law and the prophets are a revelation of the perfect righteousness of the Heavenly Father. In the Sermon on the Mount, and Matthew 5:48 is a part of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is talking about kingdom citizenship. The standards are extreme because God is the standard. The holiness of God is reflected in the demands of Jesus' teachings. Kingdom citizens are to be pure in heart, Matthew 5:8, which is an internal purity and not an outward or ceremonial purity. Not only are we not to commit adultery, whoever looks at a woman with a lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart, Matthew 5:28. That's a high standard, but that's what Jesus is teaching. Everyone who is honest with God and honest with themselves reads the Sermon on the Mount and must feel uncomfortable. Some people feel a tension between the moral imperatives that Jesus teaches and their best efforts, which always fall far short of what Jesus teaches. This is a proper response. Now, there are some interpreters who fudge a little and make some adjustments in the teachings of Jesus. This is not a good idea. We dare not fudge because of our own moral failings. If we are honest with the text of Scripture, we must surely say, with the publican in Luke 18:13, "God be merciful to me, a sinner." Matthew 5:48 is an explosive blast against the legalism and self-righteous snobbery of the Pharisees. It also demolishes the self-righteous holier-than-thou attitude of too many Christians today.
Larry would love to answer your Bible questions. Send your question to AskPastorLarry at swrc.com. That's AskPastorLarry at swrc.com. Keep listening for more answers to your Bible questions. The book of Revelation is the most misunderstood of all the 66 books of the Bible. In our resource corner today, we're offering Revelation for Today. It's an easy-to-understand verse-by-verse commentary presented from a premillennial, pre-tribulation position on eschatology. Over 50 years of study and world travels by Noah Hutchins is put into this exhaustive verse-by-verse study of the apocalypse with a contemporary application. Revelation for Today. It can be yours for a gift of $15 or more to the ministry. Another great resource we have today is the biography, As It Is in the Days of Noah. This book about the life and times of Noah Hutchins, former president of Southwest Radio Ministries, takes the reader through Brother Hutchins' ups and downs, times of blessings, sorrows, triumphs, and failures, wartime service, and testimony of 60 years in Christian service. This book can be yours, As It Is in the Days of Noah, for a gift of $15 or more today. In fact, you can combine those two resources, Revelation for Today and As It Is in the Days of Noah, for a gift of just $25 or more. Get these outstanding resources today by calling toll-free 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Or if you'd like, you can place your order anytime online at swrc.com. That's swrc.com. Christ-affirming teaching and encouragement is made possible because of your faithful prayers and financial support. We invite you to join us tomorrow when James Collins continues his study in the seven churches of Revelation. You can get a copy of today's program by simply calling 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. We are so excited to be on over 260 radio stations across the United States. And what does that mean? Well, that means that we have new listeners that are tuning in for the first time every single day. And I want to take a moment and speak to those new listeners. If you're a new listener to Watchmen on the Wall, make sure that you request our new listener pack. In this special packet, you'll find a special welcome letter from our president, Dr. Kenneth Hill, information about the ministry, and your choice of a free book. It's our way of saying thank you for being a new listener here at Southwest Radio Ministries. The new listener pack is free of charge when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Just say, I'm a new listener and I'd like the new listener pack. When you call 1-800-652-1144. Again, 1-800-652-1144. We have a special treat for you today, a special feature from our friends at Larry Stamm Ministries. It's called Messianic Minute, 60 seconds of looking at biblical truth through a Jewish lens.
Shalom, friends. Larry Stamm here with a Messianic Minute, biblical connections through a Jewish lens. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4, the Apostle Paul shared the foundation of the gospel message when he wrote, "For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Of what Scriptures was Paul referring? The Old Testament. You see, when the Apostle wrote this letter to the Corinthian church in the first century, all 27 New Testament books had not yet been written, much less compiled into one volume. While the Old Testament scriptures foretold the suffering and resurrection of the Messiah, the New Testament records Jesus' fulfillment of those scriptures through his saving work. Thank the Lord for the whole counsel of God. For more connections, visit our website at larrystamm.org or see our Larry Stamm Ministries Facebook page.
I hope you enjoyed that Messianic Minute. Remember, our Resource Corner today has two excellent books that you will want to pick up: Revelation for Today and the biography, As It Is in the Days of Noah. You can combine our two resources, Revelation for Today and As It Is in the Days of Noah, for a gift of $25 or more. Get these outstanding resources by calling 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. You can also place your order anytime online at swrc.com. That's swrc.com. As always, thank you. Thank you for your prayers, thank you for your financial support, and thank you for spending part of your day with us right here at Watchmen on the Wall. Watchmen on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful listeners like you. Visit swrc.com.